us.
Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for Spirit. The OU started Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, and now even when people are getting out, Spirit continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today's program will be on the disease that we've all heard about called Parkinson's. And we're so happy to welcome to the Spirit Forum, Dr. Albert Sultan, a physical therapy, who works at In Motion Therapy in Lakewood, New Jersey. He has a lot of interesting and new ideas to share with us. It is my honor and privilege to turn the Spirit Forum over to Dr. Sultan. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you, Robertson Steinick. It is my pleasure to present for the OU Spirit Program. It is really an honor to present for such an inspiring program. And I'm very excited to share with everyone my presentation on Parkinson's and the LSVT Big treatment method, which I've been using with my patients who have Parkinson's disease. A little bit about myself. My name is Dr. Albert Sultan. I've been working as a physical therapist for about 3 years now at In Motion Home Therapy. I treat mostly a geriatric population in Lakewood, New Jersey. And in my time at In Motion, I've seen quite a few patients with Parkinson's. So I've decided to further my education in Parkinson's disease, and I've become certified in LSVT-BIG, which is a treatment method that's specifically tailored to patients with Parkinson's disease. So without further ado, here is Think Big with Parkinson's. So Parkinson's, each one of us might know someone with Parkinson's disease, maybe a friend or a relative, or you may have been diagnosed yourself. And it's quite prevalent. About 8.5 million people worldwide have Parkinson's disease, and this number is expected to double by the year 2040. Parkinson's is the second most common neurodegenerative disease after Alzheimer's disease. And the economic impact of Parkinson's is $52 billion per year in the United States. This includes medical and non-medical costs, non-medical being missed work or early retirement due to Parkinson's disease. And what's the cause of Parkinson's? It's unknown. For the most part, we really don't know why Parkinson's occurs. There's evidence that genetics play a role, that environmental factors can play a role. But really, for the most part, we don't know why it occurs. What we do know is that with the disease, our nerve cells or neurons in the brain begin to die off. These nerve cells specifically produce a chemical called dopamine. And with the loss of this dopamine, we see the symptoms that we do in Parkinson's disease. So what are the symptoms of Parkinson's disease? There are four cardinal signs or symptoms. The first one being a resting tremor. And this is as opposed to an intention tremor. An intention tremor is if one were to lift their arm to reach for something and all of a sudden your hand would start shaking. A resting tremor is if you're sitting perfectly fine at rest, not moving, but you have a tremor or you're shaking. So that's the first sign, this resting tremor. The second symptom is postural instability or poor balance, another thing you will see very common to patients who have Parkinson's disease, putting them at a high risk for falls. The third one, muscle rigidity or muscle stiffness. And the fourth sign or symptom is bradykinesia or hypokinesia. Bradykinesia refers to slowness of movement, and hypokinesia refers to smaller movements. And the way hypokinesia manifests is really in all the functional daily activities of patients with Parkinson's lives. Whether it's their walking, you may have noticed they patients will typically take very small shuffling steps. They walk with a small hunched over posture. To even their expressions become smaller. They become less animated. And then their voice, a lot softer, quieter. Everything in their life becomes smaller. To even their handwriting, actually, their handwriting becomes smaller. And that's called micrographia, when your handwriting becomes smaller. And this is specifically what the LSVT big treatment method addresses, this hypokinesia aspect or symptom of Parkinson's disease. That is what is directly being treated with LSVT big. And how is Parkinson's diagnosed? Firstly, there will likely be 2 out of 3 symptoms of bradykinesia, tremor, and rigidity. 2 out of 3 will be present. And it'll be a gradual onset. A person may not realize once the disease begins to develop in their body. I've had a patient tell me that her friend actually noticed that she was taking smaller steps while walking and mentioned it to her. And so she, you know, made an appointment with her doctor, and it turned out she was in the early stages of Parkinson's disease. And this is a commonplace story. It's not such a surprising story because a major component of the disease is that patients don't realize they're taking smaller steps or exhibiting smaller movements in general. They believe that their movements are completely normal. And there is some larger perceptual deficit at play here. So for example, a patient might see a doorway and one in which she or he can easily fit through, but will turn sideways in order to fit through the doorway, even though it's completely wide enough. So perceptually, there is something larger going on. We know there's a deficit there. The third thing you will see in diagnosing is there is an asymmetrical distribution. In the initial stages of Parkinson's, one side of the body will be affected a lot worse than the other side. And throughout the stages of Parkinson's, one side will be worse, but you'll notice it first on either the right or the left side. We'll have a tremor or we'll be exhibiting smaller movements. And then the one more definitive way that doctors use to diagnose Parkinson's is actually prescribing them medication to treat Parkinson's disease. Most medications have dopamine replacement, that chemical we talked about that's diminished in the brain with Parkinson's disease. Doctors will prescribe these dopamine replacement drugs to patients. They'll be on them for a few weeks. And if the patient has a positive response, if their symptoms begin to improve, then that's a confirmation to the doctor, actually, that the patient does indeed have Parkinson's disease. And so a doctor may also be able to determine what stage of Parkinson's the patient is in. There are 5 stages of Parkinson's. The first one in which there's only involvement on one side of the body. The second in which there's involvement in both sides, but there's no impairment in their balance. The third in which both sides are involved, but there's no loss, but there is a loss of balance present. And the fourth stage, severe disability. However, the patient is still able to stand and walk unassisted. The fifth stage, wheelchair bound or bedridden. In these last couple of stages, there are going to be major cognitive deficits at play. And LSVT big will really only be effective for these first three stages of the disease. That's not to say I haven't used some of the methods of LSVT big for my patients who are more progressed in the disease. They just don't seem to be as effective in these later stages. And so, what are the different treatment methods for Parkinson's? We spoke about the medical management already. That's gonna be with dopamine replacement medication. There is actually surgical management being done for Parkinson's disease. DBS, or deep brain stimulation, is a surgery in which small holes are created in the skull and electrodes are implanted into the patient's brain. There's also a pacemaker-like device that's implanted under the skin of the patient's chest, and a wire connects this device to the electrodes in the brain, and it sends electrical impulses through the patient's brain to normalize the electrical activity in the brain. Very interesting as well. And then there's physical and occupational therapy. And a physical therapist or occupational therapist will use, there are many different exercise methods to use to treat Parkinson's, including strength training, aerobic training, boxing actually, called Rock Steady Boxing. It's a great program that I haven't myself become certified in Rock Steady Boxing, but I have seen it be very beneficial. There's dancing as well, and Tai Chi. And these are all just a few examples of the many exercise-based treatment therapies. LSVT big is the treatment method we'll get right into now. What is LSVT big? So LSVT big was adapted from LSVT loud. And LSVT loud is an intensive voice treatment for patients with Parkinson's, and that's provided by a speech therapist. And the single focus of the treatment is speaking louder. LSVT stands for Lee Silverman Voice Treatment. And Lee Silverman was the first patient to undergo this intensive voice treatment and died before the research was completed. So LSVT big, adapted from LSVT loud, has the single focus of making patients' movements bigger in all their activities of daily life. It's treating their amplitude, the amplitude of their movements, as a single focus. So it's not so intuitive. We mentioned a lot of symptoms that are associated with Parkinson's, a lot of debilitating symptoms, the hypokinesia or decreased movements, the smaller movements is just one aspect. So why would just focusing on the amplitude be an effective method? And so what they found with LSVT loud was just training the patients to speak louder. They found that they improved in their clarity of speech. They were stuttering less. They found a lot of good improvements by just training the volume of their speech. And so the video I'm about to show you is really a beautiful portrayal of a patient before receiving LSVT loud therapy and then afterwards. So this is Shirley. She's 59 years old and has been diagnosed with Parkinson's about 2.5 years ago. She's been on medication before the treatment started, and no changes to her medication were made during the month-long treatment of LSVT loud. So you're about to watch her before and after these 4 weeks of four times a week of LSVT loud treatment.
Have you noticed any changes in your speech or your voice that you would associate with Parkinson's?
Yes, I don't speak loud enough a lot of times.
Anything else?
Hoarse.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
I stutter, which I never did before.
Do this for me if you would. Take a deep breath and say ah for as long as you can. Okay. Would you say Parkinson's disease has caused you to talk less?
Yes.
Because?
Because I stutter and then I can't be heard. If there's noise in the house, like when the kids come over, nobody pays attention to me because they can't hear me. So I get mad and then yell.
Take a deep breath and say ah for as long as you can. Ah. Have you noticed changes in your speech or your voice as a result of the speech therapy?
Oh, yes.
What have you noticed?
I talk louder. I think louder. I'm going to sing with the Son of the Sons of Pioneers one of these days with my
voice. Good for you. That's excellent. What practicing do you do at home?
My ahs, my highs, and my lows. And I read out the mail out loud.
Excellent. Do you feel like practicing helps?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Do you feel as though people can understand you all of the time now?
Majority of the time, unless it's my husband. And he'll say, well, I can't hear you.
Good for you.
But I think he does that just to be cute.
I think he does, too. Has anyone commented that it's easier to understand you now?
Oh, yes, I set some of our friends back when we went to their house and I talked loud. Lou says, what the hell happened to you? My daughter said, oh, Ma, that's you?
Good. Don't you feel wonderful?
Oh, yeah, because now she can't say, I didn't understand what you said.
Right. No excuses, right?
Yeah, that's no right. Excuses.
All right. So what do you do when you want to be as easy to understand as possible?
Think loud.
Okay. So I really love this video. It's, you're not only seeing the change in her voice, how much louder she was speaking and how much clearer she was. Her voice is no longer hoarse, but her emotions, her expressions, her whole demeanor has gone through this amazing change as well. You could tell she's a much happier person. And this is the goal. This is the goal of any therapy. It's to make that change in the quality of life. So this is a great example with Shirley. And so the next video I'm going to show you is of Bernie.
Have you noticed any change?
And so Bernie, pay attention between the before and after of LSVT Big. On the left side of the screen is before receiving 4 weeks of four times a week of LSVT Big. And on the right side of the screen is the afterwards. And Bernie he's 71 years old. He's had Parkinson's for a bit longer, 14 years. And he decided to do LSVT Big because he was taking smaller steps. He was having some falls and he was having freezing of gait where all of a sudden he would become stuck and unable to advance his feet. So here is a video of Bernie before and after 4 weeks of LSVT Big. Again, on the left side will be the before and right side afterwards. I don't believe there's any sound to this video, so don't worry that you're not hearing anything. So it's just looking at the length of his steps, how much bigger steps he's taking, and as a result, how much faster he's walking. He also made it a lot quicker through the doorway. He's no longer using a cane. And this has a major impact on his whole quality of life. Before treatment started, as I mentioned, Bernie was falling a couple times a month. After treatment, he was no longer experiencing any falls. He actually more than tripled the speed at which he walked. And he achieved all the goals that he made for himself. And these goals included playing with his grandchildren, going to the movies, and simply being able to go out for dinner with family and friends. And so LSVT Big, what we found was similar to LSVT Loud in that although we're just training bigger movements, we're training for amplitude, we find improvements in a lot of other areas. It enhances other levels of motor output, such as trunk rotation, a patient's speed, how fast their walking improves, their reaction time improves, their balance and coordination. We've seen major improvements in that with LSVT Big. And then dual tasking, or the ability to multitask, improves as well. And LSVT Big is based on key principles of neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is essentially how our brain changes to what we learn. When we learn something, there are physical changes going on in our brain. New connections are being made between neurons or nerve cells. You know, this could be when you start playing a new instrument or learn a sport, or with all these exercises, that's the goal, for neuroplasticity to occur, actual changes to be made in the brain. And so how does neuroplasticity occur? Firstly, the exercise has to be intense. And the LSVT Big treatment is very intense in that it's 4 times a week for 4 weeks. Most physical therapy or occupational therapy you'll have is 2 or 3 times a week at most, but we call for 4 times a week. And in each hour-long session, I'm constantly driving a patient's effort. I'm cueing them to produce these bigger movements, and I'm not letting any small movements slip by. You know, even if it may seem mean, but even if they're just going to take a bathroom break and walking to the bathroom, but I see they're reverting back to those smaller steps, I go to correct them because I want them to translate the movements to everyday life. So it is quite intense, and that's how neuroplasticity occurs. Secondly, you have to have a lot of repetitions. As I say, practice makes perfect, and that's completely true. We don't perform the repetitions until the patient gets it right. We perform it until they can't get it wrong. That's how much repetitions are needed. Hundreds of repetitions, really, and So it translates to their everyday life. And then the complexity of the exercise, it should be challenging for the patient, but it can't be too challenging where they're just constantly failing. They need to have some success, but it can't be too easy. There has to be that balance in order for neuroplasticity to be optimal. So let's say one of the stepping exercises becomes too easy for a patient. I'll start, if they're doing it inside on a level surface, we'll go outside. I'll have them do it on the grass where it's a little bit uneven, or I'll bring in a balance pad. I'll have them do it on a balance pad, adding some new challenge. Maybe I'll have them hold a cup of water while doing the exercise. The exercise needs to be challenging. Good. And then the fourth principle, salience or relevance or importance. It needs to be important to the patient. The functional activity that you're practicing needs to be important to them. If a patient's goal, if they're not really interested in climbing stairs, I'm not going to force them to do that, because it won't be as effective because it's not important to them. But if they really want to work on getting in and out of bed independently, that's what we'll do. And that's what will be most effective, because that exercise is really important to them. And then specificity. Any exercise you do and that you practice with many repetitions, that exercise specifically will be improved. So it has to mimic as close as possible the functional activity that the patient wants to improve in. Typically, if a patient is having difficulty standing up, and this is a patient that doesn't have Parkinson's, we may say, oh, it's probably their legs that are weak. We need to strengthen their legs. So we would put on some weights and have them kick and kick and strengthen the legs as much as possible. With Parkinson's, if they're having difficulty getting up, we work on getting up. That's it. It's really, the difficulty with the movement is likely not gonna be weakness. In Parkinson's, it's gonna be the hypokinesia aspect. They're just the difficulty in producing a big movement. So we're very specific. They need to work on getting up. We practice getting up from a chair, up and down. If they need a little help initially, I'll provide a little help, or I'll make it easier in some way so that they have some success. But those are the key principles that LSVT Big uses. And so what are the teaching techniques in LSVT Big that I use? The first one is model. Show, don't tell. So, giving lengthy explanations of an exercise, move your arm up 30 degrees, or bend your foot this way, move it over to the side like this, it's not going to work. It's really, it won't be so effective in having patients produce bigger movements. The most effective way is to model the exercise, to actually do the movement and have them watch you do the movement and tell them, okay, copy me. This is what you do. And you show them. That's the most effective way. If that doesn't work, I'm going to go ahead and then shape the patient. What does that mean? Let's say the patient, we're working on walking, and the patient doesn't swing his arms at all, but he keeps his arms very stiff by his side. Another thing you'll see common with walking in Parkinson's patients, and I'll show him big arm swings, and I'll show him how to swing his arm big. But it's still not working. I'll then take his arm while he's walking and I'll swing his arm physically. And I'll tell him, you feel it. You feel how your arm is swinging. That's what I'm looking for. And that's another effective teaching method. And then we always want to drive big effort. That's very important, to be as enthusiastic and as positive as you can. You try to be as you know, I try to be even louder with my Parkinson's patients to really, to emphasize that their movements need to be big. Everything I do, you know, they're supposed to copy. So I myself need to portray myself as big and then also drive big effort in them. And the fourth teaching technique is reinforcement. So, you know, when they're done with the exercise, if they did it great, I'll tell them that was great. That was, don't change anything. That was terrific. That's exactly how I want you to walk later today when you're going shopping or when you're walking your dog. That's exactly how I want you to swing your arm and take big steps. Very important to connect the exercises to their real life, what they're doing day in and day out, so that it translates to the day in and day out. And so that they don't revert to smaller steps and, you know, smaller movements after you're gone. And if they didn't do the exercise so well, you know, you'll tell them, you did this really well, but I think we can make this bigger. You have the arm swing, but your steps could be even bigger like this. And then I'll show them again. Good. And so I'd like to now demonstrate some of the exercises from LSVT Big. In an LSVT session, there are 7 maximal daily exercises. And then we practice 5 functional tasks. And then there's a more complex task called the hierarchy task. And then we do walking. So I'll just start with a few of the exercises. I'm going to stop sharing so that you see me in full screen. Okay. Good. So the first one I'll do is the big forward step. And with this one, it's going to be a big step forward and big step back, just like this. Good.
Should we be seeing your legs? Because I think you need to move back a little more.
Sure.
Or maybe move the chair.
Good. Is this better?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. So big step forward and big step back. Good. Let me just tilt the screen down a little bit. That might be better. Good. Next is a side step. This one. Another one is a twist. That one is actually pretty difficult for patients to balance with. And then I'll show you the seated exercise we do. This one is called a floor to ceiling exercise. And you're going to start with a big reach forward, reaching down, big reach up, and a big reach back, holding it for 10 seconds. Good. Again, a big reach forward, reaching down, reaching up, reaching back, holding it for a count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. We also practice with every patient big sit to stands. A lot of patients will have difficulty shifting their weight forward enough to stand up. So they may start to stand and then fall backwards because they didn't lean forward far enough. So with the big sit to stand, the big reach forward and standing up big. Good. So, good. Those are the just a few of the maximal daily exercises from LSVT Big. And then, as I mentioned, we also practice functional tasks like getting up and getting down from a chair, or it can be as simple as taking your keys out of your pocket or opening up a flip cell phone. Patients with Parkinson's may have difficulty doing this. So the key is really analyzing, what is the patient having difficulty with, cueing them to make the movement bigger so that it's easier for them. And then there's a hierarchy task we work on as well. And these are more complex tasks that patients have a goal of improving on, such as getting in and out of bed. For example, getting out of bed. You may not think that it's so complex, but there's a few components to it. It's first removing the blanket, scooting over to the edge of the bed, swinging your legs off the bed, and then standing up. And a patient with Parkinson's can have difficulty in every part of this hierarchy task. So sometimes it's about breaking down these more complex tasks. So I may just first start with, okay, lying in bed and putting the blanket over the patient and having him use a big movement to take the blanket off to make it easier and faster for him. And I'll have him practice repetitions. And when that becomes easy, I may use a heavier blanket and progress in that way. So really the goal of LSVT Big is that the patient becomes calibrated. And what is calibration? It's when the patient knows and accepts the amount of effort that's needed to consistently produce bigger, more normal amplitude movements. And so when a patient is calibrated, when they know this amount of effort that they need to produce more normal movements, they'll be using these bigger movements throughout the day, even when you're not there. And then you should be getting feedback from their family members about them noticing their bigger movements. I can't tell you how many times before I was using the LSVT Big method where, a patient's spouse or a family member, when I'm there, they'd be shocked. They've never seen the patient take such big steps or move in such a way. And then they tell me, even if I've been treating them for weeks, they would tell me, it's not the same when you're not here. He only does this for you. It's only when you're around. You just need to live here. You need to live in the house because it just doesn't translate. But with LSVT Big, it addresses this problem very well, being that we do so many repetitions because I'm there 4 times a week and the patient has homework pretty much every day. On the days that I'm there, they're supposed to do 20 to 30 minutes during another portion of the day. And when on days that I'm not there, they should be doing a half hour twice a day of these exercises in my session. So that's really how it translates with LSVT Big. And yes, in my experience, in which I've used LSVT Big with my patients, I've noticed greatly improved dynamic balance. For example, some of the exercises I showed you standing up could be adapted for patients who don't have great balance. You could do the exercises with one hand holding onto a counter or a chair to give the patient balance. And what I've seen is with patients who I've treated, we've started out holding on and their balance improved in such a way where we didn't have to hold on anymore for balance. I've seen great improvement in patients walking, taking bigger steps, bigger arm swing, and improved independence. And these are functional tasks we practice during the session, from, you know, getting in and out of bed, standing up from a chair, to putting maybe putting on a coat, or any functional task. We perform a lot of repetitions, and I cue them to do the movement bigger, or do it in a different way that will be easier for them. And with practice, they have improved independence in these tasks. And so in summary, I really, I found so far with the patients I've used LSVT Big on that it's been a lot more successful than patients who I've treated previously without the certification. And I would highly recommend someone with Parkinson's to seek out a clinician that is certified in LSVT Big for treatment, or if speech is a goal, then an LSVT Loud certified speech therapist. And so you can find the link here to find any LSVT clinicians near you. I should say that I'm not paid in any way by LSVT Global. I have no financial relationship with them. And then over here is my company, In Motion Home Therapy. We serve the Lakewood, New Jersey area, also Deal. And this is the office number. If anyone needs physical, occupational, or speech therapy, they can reach out to In Motion. All right. If anyone has any questions, you can write them in the chat. I'll just check the chat. All right, if not, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. I mean, I think you gave us some really, really wonderful information and a lot of strategies to go forward with. We're going to put that information from the last slide. You'll be emailing that to me. So if anybody didn't catch it, don't worry about it. You'll get it with your recording later. I have a couple of questions and comments here. So somebody says that they highly recommend rock steady boxing for Parkinson's patients. They said the boxing is great. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, I haven't, again, I'm not certified in it. I don't have so much experience, but I have, witnessed a couple of sessions and I do definitely recommend it. With boxing, they teach you, you know, better posture, and how to have core stability. So it should improve someone with Parkinson's balance and those rotational movements when punching a bag are also very good.
Okay. Somebody also, I have two other questions. How is the spiritual and emotional challenges addressed in the Parkinson's patient? Okay, and the other one is there any data to show if this more prevalent in men or women? Okay, those are the ones I have.
Yes, so yeah, that is very tough. There is a major emotional aspect, definitely. A lot of patients with Parkinson's do have anxiety and depression. And so we try to stay as positive as possible in our sessions, and, you know, making the patient more independent, improving their self-efficacy. I do believe it can improve those emotional aspects as well.
Okay, I have two others that just came in. One is this therapy covered by insurance? And the other one is, if somebody is recently diagnosed and has very little symptoms, would this be very helpful? The idea is they don't have symptoms yet. Is this preventative at all, or?
So it is covered by insurance, and yes, definitely they should get started with LSVT Big. While they may not notice any symptoms yet, they may have they may have some symptoms, and it may be slight. You know, it may be just your hand doesn't open, you know, is not opening fully, just some movements are slightly smaller, things that only a physical therapist who's licensed in LSVT Big or certified in LSVT Big would notice. And it is great to slow the disease progression, even if those symptoms aren't so noticeable yet.
Wait. Is there a From Parkinson's support group?
That's a great question. I want to say there may be, I've heard of LifeSpark. I'm not sure if that's a From organization. I have to look into that actually. But yeah, that's a good question.
Well, actually, let me just comment. The OU we have created a generic caregiving WhatsApp group, and if somebody brought up the idea the other day, could there be a WhatsApp group for Parkinson's, which if there is enough interest, we certainly could do that. So if people could let me know, not in the chat here, just send me an email. We might even create a form. If that's something that you think would be helpful, we'd certainly be happy to accommodate you with that. The questions keep going. Is there a special diet, or do you emphasize certain food?
I haven't heard of any special diet or food that would be beneficial.
Okay, that's what all I have now. So I don't know if you have any others in addition.
I do have some direct messages to me, but I'm not sure. Do I read them? Do I read them out loud, or
yeah, just without the person's name?
Sure.
Oh, this is very nice. Somebody says they're willing to organize a monthly Parkinson's Zoom meeting. That's lovely. If you could, the person that indicated that, if you could send me a direct email, we would be up. We'll see how what we can do to, you know, and if people could let us know that that's something they're interested in, just, you know, you can send me an email following. Okay. Dr. Sultan, back to you.
Yeah, someone asked if ping pong is good. This is relatively new. I have heard about this. Just, you know, from my experience with ping pong, it would seem that it could be beneficial. We're working, it's a quick reaction time that's needed. And you have to have good footwork and balance, definitely, with ping pong. So I think it could be beneficial. And yes, that's all I have.
Okay. Somebody wants to know my email, steinigj@ou.org. I will put that is in every message you get from me. Every recording will have my email at the bottom. So I should be very easy to reach. Okay. But as I said, all the different information we are going to put in with the recording. And I'll probably have a message on there to say, let us know if you want this, you know, a support group or other, you know, programming, whether you want a Zoom meeting or a WhatsApp, you know, let's find out what people are interested in. So I'm very much appreciate having people step up to the plate to be involved with this. That's wonderful. The idea of people supporting each other is amazing. And that's part of spirit. If anybody has any other question, please just put it in the chat. Otherwise, I'm going to wait another second while I'll just let everybody know that we are taking off next week for July 4th. Everybody should enjoy with your family safely. And we'll be back on Tuesday, July 11th. And we are switching to 12 noon. And this is to accommodate our West Coast people, that it's just been too difficult. But there are people around the world, and I apologize if that's not going to help more. It's very difficult to find a good time. We're going to be going with 12 noon, and that program on July 11th will actually be a hybrid. It will be on Zoom the way we normally have. And we will also, for anybody in the Northern New Jersey area, we will be on site at Young Israel of Fort Lee. If you are interested in joining us live, you know, in person, it's live even on Zoom, in person, we'll be sending out registration that you can contact the shul and let them know that you are interested to do that. That will all be in the information that you'll be getting. Oh, and the program. The program is with our own OU Rabbinic Coordinator, Rabbi Dov Schreier, and he will be speaking on the ABCs of eating out. Now that, you know, everybody's vaccinated and we try to get, you know, we're trying to not remember those days of staying in. People want to eat out. They want to go places, which is wonderful, but let's find out the way, the kosher and legitimate way to do it. So he will be speaking on that. This is his expertise at the OU. So that is Tuesday, July 11th. Everybody have a wonderful week. Be safe, be healthy. And I guess it's not too early to wish you a good Shabbos and a happy July 4th. Take care. Thank you so much again, Dr. Sultan.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful.